evening. Hope that y'all had a good, restful afternoon. Everything's going well with you. The Lord has blessed us to allow us to be here again tonight and look into His Word and gather together. And turn with me, if you would please, to Matthew chapter number 6, the Gospel of Matthew. First book in the New Testament. We've been going through this book in Sunday school. Dad has. He's been teaching out of it. It's been a real blessing and been learning lots of good things from the book of Matthew. And Dad covered this portion of Scripture. It's been several weeks ago, so I don't think that anybody will... it's not fresh on somebody, on your mind. Some of you aren't here for Sunday school. You're teaching other classes or whatever it might be, and so you might not have gotten this, so this will be a refresher course for you. And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 6, and we're going to read verses 25 through 34. Verses 25 through 34. That'd be verses 25 down to the end of the chapter. And I'm going to speak to you tonight on the subject of worrying, about worry. That's the subject that we speak on tonight is on worry. I don't know if you struggle with the sin of worry, because it is a sin, but if you don't, well, I do. So I'll be preaching to me tonight. This is a sermon directed towards me, and I hope that you get something from it as well. But we want to talk to you tonight about not worrying, and more specifically, reasons why that you should not worry. But before we read the Scriptures, let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You for all that You have blessed us with again this evening. Thank You that we can be here tonight. Lord, we thank You for the good day that You've given to us. Lord, You've given us beautiful weather. You've given us sunshine and just a beautiful day today. You've given us some good fellowship in Your house, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ who will assemble together and have a like mind, like faith, and we can just have fellowship with one another. God, I pray that You'd be with us here this evening. I pray that You'd help me as I speak and help me to say things that are needful and necessary, and I pray that You'd just speak to our hearts and strengthen us in this day and age and in which we live. And we'll thank You for it. We love You, and we pray that You'd receive all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter number 6. I hope that you're already there. You've got your Bibles ready to read. Verse number 25. Jesus is speaking. And of course, this is called the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof? Oh, like I said, we want to approach the subject of worry and anxiety this evening. The subject of worry and anxiety. I'm sure that many Christians struggle with this thing called worry. I'm sure that I'm speaking here to people who struggle with this thing of worry and anxiety. And like I said, if you don't struggle with it, well, I do. And I think that over the lifespan of everyone, that everyone's going to struggle with worrying about something, being anxious about something, not trusting God like they ought to, praying like they ought to, laying all their burdens at the feet of Jesus Christ, going to God in prayer. They struggle with this thing of worry. Worry. What is it? Well, those thoughts take over your mind, don't they? Some kind of situation comes into your life. It's unfavorable most of the time. You don't like it. Could be dangerous. Could be hurtful. Those thoughts come into your mind and then they take over your mind, don't they? They take away your joy. Take away your sleep. You can't sleep. You can't think about nothing else. Your mind starts to run wild. You go down to the worst case scenario that could happen or that might happen. You can't get any peace in your life. Can't get any peace in your mind because you're worried about something, full of anxiety. It happens to all of us. And you and I might think, well, worry and anxiety, it's not that bad. I mean, it's just that. I mean, we all do it. That's kind of a small thing. I don't need to worry about it. We don't need to, you know, that's not very significant. But God treats it as something that is significant. And He calls it, or it is a sin because that is what worry is. Worry says, well, I really don't trust God. I really don't think that He's in control. I really don't think that God knows my situation. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what tomorrow holds for me. I really can't trust Him with tomorrow, so therefore I better let those situations take control of my mind, and I might as well just worry about it. That would be the remedy for my situation, worry. If I think long and hard about it and I just run things through my mind forever, well, that will fix the situation. That stuff happens to me all the time. And I'm not thinking, well, if I worried about it long enough, it'll fix it. It just comes into my mind, and I just worry. Those kind of things just happen. Now, worry is a little bit different than concern. You ought to be concerned about some things. I'm not saying that you just be, you know, throw caution into the wind and wherever the wind takes me, I'm fine. I don't need to be concerned about anything. Who cares about the bills? They'll take care of themselves. You know, who cares about my job? You know, God will provide. You know, that's fine. Put the car in neutral and wherever the wind blows, that's where I'm going. That's not what we're talking about. You ought to be concerned. Concern means we do pay attention to what's going on in our lives. We walk after the path of God. We walk in His ways and we do things that we think are the best for our lives in light of what God's Word says, and we try to come up with solutions to our lives. That's concern. Every one of us ought to be concerned. But worry is something different. Worry is fear that God is not in control of a situation. God is not aware of my situation. And He must be, you know, taking a vacation or something because, you know, this thing that has come into my life, He is totally clueless about what's going on in my life. And He doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So therefore, I am completely worried about it and we don't have any peace or any rest in our lives. Now, Jesus has been speaking to His disciples, and He's been telling them in those previous verses leading up to this, not to lay up treasures on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt, or thieves don't break through and steal. So what He's trying to get at here is you're so concerned about the physical. You're so concerned about the money. You're so concerned about your needs that those things, you are so consumed with those things that those things start to become a god in your life. And you start trying to serve those things. And you take your eyes off of the Lord and you put your eyes on the physical things. And you become so consumed with those physical things that God's somewhere back over here, off in your peripheral. You're not even paying attention to Him anymore. You're not even reading His Word or consulting Him about anything. You're all consumed with treasure, money, materialism. That's all you're concerned with. And then you start to worry because you left God in the dust somewhere. And so here we are, and He says, don't take no thought. When I say don't worry, it's take no thought. You're worrying about something. So don't worry about the daily supplies. Don't be anxious. God is going to supply or provide our needs. Tonight I want to give you three reasons Jesus gives us not to worry. Why should we not worry? Well, number one, worry is futile. Worry is futile. Now, if you want to worry, that's an exercise in futility. If you want to waste some time, some really good, precious time that you could use for a good cause or something good in your life, just worry. Just sit around and worry. Because worrying is nothing but a big, old, fat waste of time. It does no good whatsoever. Nothing. Nothing good comes from worry. You see, he says in verse number 27, he says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? He says, who here can sit around and think, man, I wish I was taller. I wish I had a little bit more height on me. You know, I'm only 6 foot. I wish I was 6'4". So therefore, if I think long enough, if I think hard enough, if I just think about it enough, then I can do it. I can add some height to my stature. You think about a situation and it consumes your mind and it consumes your thought and it does no good. You sit there and you torment yourself over and over and over again for long periods of time and it does no good whatsoever. And Jesus says, who of you can do that? Who of you can think long enough and add one cubit to your stature? Now Jesus is given a rhetorical question here. It's not like he wants an answer because the answer is obvious. The answer is no. No, no one can do that. You can think for the next 1,000 years as long and hard as you want to, and nothing like that is going to happen. But yet many times we live our lives that way, don't we? Many times we live our lives, I've got this problem or this thing that I want done in my life, and if I can think about it long enough and hard enough, well, that will happen. Nobody can do that. You know why? Because we are limited, finite creatures. And we have to trust God. God is much higher and much stronger and much more powerful than you are. And the height that God has given you is the only height you're going to get. He made you that way. Whether you're short, tall, whatever it might be, God made you that way. You can't anybody. I mean, unless you want to get some platform shoes and act like you're in the disco again from the 70s, you could do that. But that's not what we're talking about here. But what do we worry about so many times? You know what we worry about sometimes? We worry about finances. Well, I just don't know how I'm going to pay those bills. I mean, I got bills coming in, and I've got things I've got to pay, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and we worry about that. Man, I've got bills piling up, and I just don't know what I'm going to do, and we worry about that. Or I don't have a nice enough car, and I'm not against cars. I'm not saying anything against that, but many times we get into debt, and we spend money we don't have, and we create a bunch of problems. Because we worry about things. We worry about finances. How are we going to pay the bills? Need to get a better job. I got to get more money. I've got to get that. And it consumes our thoughts all of the time. And finances take up our time. And if we're completely honest, money pretty much drives our whole entire lives. That's really where it drives us. And we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But did you know that worrying is not going to add $1 to your account? You're not going to get one more dollar in your wallet if you worry long enough. What else do we worry about? We worry about finances. Well, we worry about kids. You got children today? You worry about your kids. You worry about, well, I hope my kids turn out right. And you worry about that. Hey, I've got kids. I know exactly how it feels. I got 3 kids, and you worry about how your kids are going to turn out. You worry about how your kids are behaving when you're not around. Wonder what they're doing. Wonder what they're getting away with. wonder how they're behaving. We worry about who they're going to marry, how their finances are going to turn out, how their lives are going to turn out. Worry about how their marriages are going to turn out, don't you? Yep, we sure do. We worry about all those things. We worry about all of their future. We worry that they're going to. We want them to serve God, don't we? If you're a Christian here today, you worry and you want your kids to serve God. And I have sat and I have spent hours worrying about whether my kids are going to serve God or whether they're going to do right, whether they're going to follow God, whether they're going to stay in church. Worry about all of those things. Did you know that worrying is not going to change the way your kids turn out? Not one bit. It's not going to affect their marriage one bit. Now, you ought to be concerned about it. You ought to teach them. You ought to pray for them. You ought to lead them right. But worrying is not going to change the outcome of the lives of our children at all. We also worry about our health. Did you know that the first thing that comes into our lives many times, whether it be a physical ailment or something like that, most of the time, our minds go to the worst case scenario, don't they? First sign of a health problem, boy, we think it's something significant. We think it is the worst thing possible. You know, here about 2 years ago, I had some back problems. And I do a lot of physical labor and things like that, but boy, I started feeling some lower back pain. It was hard for me to get in my car. I didn't know what was going on. Picking up things got harder and harder. And it didn't feel too bad at first, but then it got really bad, and all of a sudden I felt something give in my back. Boy, I didn't know what it was. And right away I thought, well, you know, this is probably pretty serious. You know, I may not be able to work again because it's just that bad. If this is what I'm thinking, I'm probably going to have to get back surgery, you know, to get this thing fixed because this is bad, you know. And boy, I just thought it was bad. I went to the doctor, went and saw Dr. A, and he didn't even look at my back. I mean, I thought he would have taken some x-rays or something like that. And I just, about a five-minute doctor visit, talked to him, and he says, well, you probably have a strained back. He said, I could take some x-rays and let you know about those things, but he said, more than likely, it's just a strained back. So what you need to do is just go down and take some physical therapy and then do light duty at your work. But you know what I thought? As soon as those things happened, boy, this is bad. You know, we always do that. We worry about our health. And all of that worrying, all of that thinking that I did not change my back situation one bit. But we worry too much. And all of that worrying does no good whatsoever. You know what worrying does? Worrying only creates damage in your life. That's it. Did you know worrying will damage your physical body? It will. Did you know that worrying will cause a suppression in the immune system? It's a lot easier to get sick if you worry. Did you know that it'll cause digestive orders, muscle tension? Do you ever get muscle tension in your neck and your shoulders because of worrying and anxiety? Had something big coming up, and boy, you're just worrying and worrying and worrying about it. Boy, your neck and your shoulders just started getting tense. That's exactly what happened. All of that worrying just affects your physical body. It'll cause short-term memory loss, premature coronary artery disease, and heart attack. All of those things just because of worrying. And we think worrying's a little thing. Boy, it'll take you from your family early just from worrying. You know, we get into that fight or flight mechanism in the body. Some people in healthcare probably know what I'm talking about. Boy, your brain senses some danger, something coming up. And automatically your body responds with that fight or flight. Either I'm going to stay here and fight, or I'm going to run away in flight. I'm going to run away. That's an automatic response to some kind of danger in your life. And if you're constantly in anxiety mode or fight or flight mode, it's going to cause health problems in your life, guaranteed. That's a danger. It'll damage your relationships. When you're always on edge or you're always anxious about the future, are you a pleasant person to be around? I'm not. My kids know whenever I have anxiety or I'm worried about something or I'm always on edge, well, they'd rather just leave me alone. Okay, Dad's not doing too good today. Better just leave him alone. My wife knows all about that. What are you worrying about? What are you anxious about? Nobody wants to be around somebody who's always a sourpuss or always a worrywart, always worrying about something. Nobody wants to hang around you when you're worrying all the time. I'm not trying to be harsh, but it's the truth. Nobody wants to be around me when I'm always worrying. You're not going to have a good relationship with God if you're always worrying, because you ain't trusting God. You're thinking, well, God doesn't know my situation. God can't provide for me, blah, blah, blah. And you're going to be distrusting God, and you don't have a good relationship with God when you're always worrying. You don't have that faith and trust. You have damaged relationships. It's going to damage your joy. Can you be joyful and worrying at the same time? I haven't met too many people who have anxiety and who are always happy. Nope. You don't have that joy. It'll steal your joy. It'll steal your happiness. You get damaged opportunities. You miss out on a blessing. You get an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else if you got anxiety or worrying. You know what you're usually doing? You're usually worrying about yourself or your situation or something going on in your life. And you're not worried about the other people. And you're not going to be a blessing to somebody else if you're always worried about yourself. You're going to miss out on opportunities. Do you know you can miss out on an opportunity to serve God if you're always worrying, full of anxiety? I can't do that. I can't serve the Lord there. I can't do that because what will people think about me? I'm kind of worried about my self-image. I can't do anything for God. I'm worried, full of anxiety. You miss out on the opportunity to serve God. You don't believe that God can supply all your needs. You don't believe in stepping out by faith and letting God help you. You miss out on opportunities. It does nothing but damage. Worrying is futile. It does no good whatsoever. Worrying is not only futile, but worrying is faithless. It's faithless. Worrying is an exercise in faithlessness. At the end of verse number 30, he says, "O ye of little faith." He says, you're not having faith. And faith in this context, in the words of Christ, is this: believing that God already has all of your needs met. God already has your needs met. God already knows what tomorrow is. God already sees tomorrow. God has already been to tomorrow. God is not in the dark. He's not waiting to see what's going to happen and then maybe I might have to do this. No, God already knows. And if you and I are worrying, we're saying, well, what kind of a God do we have? God already knows the future. He already knows what you need before you ask. Now, God, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us some examples from nature to show us this truth. First, the birds in the sky. And you got to appreciate the teaching methods of Jesus. I mean, he just uses some simple things to teach us some things. He says, look up there in the birds in the sky. Look at them. They sow not. Do you see birds going out and planting crops and, man, preparing for the future and trying to take care of themselves? They don't sow. They're not farmers. They don't do anything. They just live life. They're not fretting. They're not rubbing their hands. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Man, food's getting scarce. They sow not, neither do they reap. They're not out there reaping a crop in the fields. They don't work. They don't gather into barns, he says. They don't got a big storehouse where they're piling up a bunch of stuff for the future. Look at the birds, Jesus Christ said. They just live on a day-to-day basis, and whatever God gives them, that's how they live. That's all that they do. Now I'd like to ask you a question. You ever seen any birds dying of starvation out there? I never have seen not a one. They're always taken care of. They've always got plenty to eat. Then he gives us the lilies of the field. Why are you worried about your clothing? He says, consider the lilies of the field. Hey, just a little insignificant flower out there in the middle of the field that ain't worth nothing. And he says, consider the lilies of the field. They toil not. How about the flowers of the field? They got a 9-to-5 job? They don't work, do they? No, they're just out there. They're just standing out there looking pretty. They toil not, neither do they spin. They're working hard to make themselves some clothing. They don't spin their own clothing. They don't know how to knit. They don't know how to crochet. They don't know how to sew. They don't know any of those things, neither do they spin. He says, even Solomon was not arrayed like one of these. Did you know that Solomon was one of the most grand kings ever, that ever lived on the face of the planet? Whenever the Queen of Sheba came and saw the kingdom of Solomon, she says, "Man, the half was not even told to me. It's so beautiful and so wonderful." And Jesus said that Solomon wasn't even as beautiful as one of the lilies of the field. And the lilies of the field don't do anything. They just stand out there. So if God would clothe a little obscure flower as beautiful as that, why do we even worry about our clothing? I don't know how God's going to take care of me tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to get that food. I don't know how I'm going to get that clothing. Aren't we better than a lily? Aren't we better than a flower? Because he says that that lily doesn't even last, what, 3-4 months maybe? Then it's cut down, withers away, goes away. How long is our lifespan? Much longer than a lily. We're much better than the lilies of the field. And yet we don't have the faith. We worry about how God's going to take care of us. We worry about our clothing. We worry about our food. We worry about our country. We worry about our families. We worry about all of these things. Are you trusting God for all the needs of your life? Are you trusting the Lord? Because we ought to be trusting the Lord in everything, but most of the time, I'll tell you what our eyes are on. Our eyes are not on God. Our faith is not in the Lord. You know what your eyes are on and my eyes are on? The needs. The needs. We're not looking at God. We're looking at the things that we need. And Jesus said, where's your faith? Focus on your faith, not on the things that you need. Don't focus on your finances and your clothing and your children. Don't focus on your job and your finances, all of those things. Focus on the one who gives you those things. Focus on God. Our eyes must be on God, not on the needs. Now, what do you need? Most of all, what do you need? Do you need the things or do you need God? One of the two. Because we ought to have in our mindset, not, man, I sure do need these things, but our mindset ought to be, I need God. I need God. That's what I need. Why? Because all of those things come from God. James 1 says, every good and every perfect gift comes from God. It doesn't just come up automatically, spring forth from the fairy. No, it comes from God. Faith is the most important thing of God, important thing of all. And faith trumps worry every single time. Faith does. So we must focus on God. So worry is not only futile, and it's not only faithless, but it's also frustrating. Why? Because, as I said, it takes our eyes off of the one thing that we do need. It takes our eyes off of God instead. He says in verse number 33, he says, but instead of seeking these things, therefore take no thought for those things, verse 25. Therefore take no thought for those things, verse 31. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek God. That's what we must seek. We must seek God. Jesus tells us to seek God first because worry frustrates that purpose. Worry sidetracks that. Worry takes our eyes off of God and onto the needs. It sidetracks us. And Jesus Christ tells his disciples in verse number 25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. He says, isn't life more than that? I mean, isn't life more than our clothing? I mean, if all of our life has consisted of just what we eat and just what we wear and just our bank account and just those things, I'd say that's a pretty sad life. Our life consists of more than that. I mean, it ought to. As human beings, our life ought to consist of more than those things. But unfortunately, most Christians living in the United States of America in the lap of luxury with everything they could ever want, most of our lives consist of just those things. That's it. Our whole life is driven by the buck. Our whole life is driven by, well, how much money can I have? How much stuff can I afford? How many nice things can I get? How much money can I make at this job? Because I can't make enough at this job, and I've got to go to that job. And I'm not dragging on anybody, because I think the same way sometimes. Our eyes get sidetracked, and worry circumvents the most important of the most important things, which would be God, over to the temporal. Things that don't last very long. So worry frustrates our priorities. What should we be seeking? God. God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why should we seek God first? We should seek God first. Because what good would it do? What good would it do to gain all of those things? All of the earthly riches that you wanted. All of the physical things that you wanted. And you didn't have peace. And you didn't have joy. And you didn't have righteousness. What would happen? What good would it do? Who cares? The only thing that you've become and I've become is idolaters. That's it. Because we forgot about God and we just worked and worked and worked and slaved, and all of that stuff just mastered our lives. And that's all it did. We don't have the peace and we don't have the joy. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He says in verse number 24, He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. You cannot serve God and mammon. But unfortunately, that's what happened to what has happened to the church in America today. We have just started seeking after the things. We just started going after all the materialism. And that's the most important thing to most Christians. How much stuff can I get? I just want more things. And God's somewhere over here in the peripheral. We're not serving Him anymore. We don't even consult Him anymore. Just how much more stuff can I get? We're worried too much about all that stuff. We're concerned way too much with the stuff and not with what God has said in His Word, what He requires, what He wants, who He is. Most Christians couldn't even name who God is or anything about Him. They don't know anything about Him. Just give me some more stuff. That's what I'm worried about. And they are behaving like the heathen. Verse 32 says, for all these things to the Gentiles seek. Who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are the heathen. The Gentiles are outside of the covenant community. They're not even a part. They don't even have God. They don't even know God. They're just idolaters. That's all they are. That's the way Christians have become. But if all we got is a bunch of stuff, a bunch of material possessions, you know what? Those things are never going to satisfy. Never going to satisfy. You get down to the end of your life and all you find is that you just got a big old bag of junk. That's it. That's all I have. Because it's all going to fade away one of these days. Everything that we own is just going to be sold at garage sales, or it's going to be part of a landfill. That's it. Worry. It frustrates. Frustrates our view. Frustrates the blessings of God. He says, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So once our priorities are in line, and once we are seeking God the way that we ought to seek God, the rest of our life is going to fall into line. But you see, we put the cart before the horse. We're always seeking the things and not seeking God, but we need to seek God first, and then those things will be added unto you. Because God's not going to let His people become idolaters. He won't do it. You know what God will do? He'll remove the blessings. That's what happened to the children of Israel in the Old Testament over and over and over again. They just got concerned about the things, and they started worshiping those things, and God took the blessings away. But worry. Oh, man, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. We must seek God first. Well, if we're going to seek God, we must seek the King.
You can't seek God without the King. You know, a lot of people like to think, well, you know, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. That's called agnosticism. Well, you know, I do believe in God, but I don't believe you can know Him. And I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why they're saying those things? They don't want to be told what to do. Well, if I can just say I believe in God, but not that He requires anything, well, then I can feel better about myself. And, you know, I don't want to seek the King. You can't seek God without the King. You got to seek the King. So we must seek the King. You're not going to attain righteousness. You're not going to attain peace. You're not going to attain holiness or joy in the Holy Ghost apart from the King. You can't worship God apart from the King. You can't find contentment. You can't find joy without the King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus gives us comfort. We don't have to worry about the past. You don't have to worry about your sins in the past. Those sins are forgiven if you're a Christian. Don't worry about those things. You don't have to worry about the present. His Spirit is working in you right now. The only thing you need to do is obey Him, walk in the Spirit, yield to Him. You don't need to worry about the present. You don't need to worry about the future, because Christ has it all taken care of completely and totally. You got promises in His Word that says He has provided everything for you and He will provide everything for you. Doesn't even matter if it's your health. I mean, you're going to get a brand new body one of these days. He's got everything taken care of. He's thought of everything. Anything that you could think of is not going to fall short because it's already taken care of. Are you worrying? Hey, let's not worry. Let's not worry. We have no reason to worry. We've got the King. Let's pray.